more constituencies on the call. Glenn, can you just run through the sort of role as you have on the call right now and make sure we're not missing anyone?
David Ferris from the business constituency. Milton Miller from the non-commercial constituency.
Tony Harris.
What? Hi, Tony. From the ISP. Paul Stahura from registrars. Jordan Buchanan, registrars. Ross Rader, registrars. Tim Ruiz, registrars. Steve Metellitz from IPC. As I said, Nicholas can't be on the call. Wendy Seltzer from ALAC and Brett Fawcett from ALAC. And Maria, the policy officer.
Great. Did Glenn miss anyone there?
The GAC liaison.
Oh, sorry, Susan.
Not to worry. I'm not voting.
No.
So, still good to know you're here, Susan.
Yes.
Thank you.
Someone just joined?
It's Marilyn Jordan. I'm not sure if I'll be able to be on the call the entire time, but I'm here right now.
No problem. Okay. Well, I'm going to start talking through the agenda and our first, what I have as a first agenda item. And hopefully we'll get someone from the registries to join prior to the vote. But in terms of an agenda for this call, I propose that we initially catch up for those of you that weren't able to participate in Cape Town, Mar del Plata, a brief recap from the meetings that we had there. And secondly, to have discussion around the preliminary report that Maria has prepared. That may perhaps require a brief discussion of voting procedures. And as a third agenda item, talk about work plan and pass forward on the remaining work items that we think we have, although one thing we'll talk about momentarily is we're waiting for a recharter from the council. Does anyone else have any additions or modifications for the agenda? Okay, great. So just to briefly recap from the Mar del Plata meeting, we had two WHOIS-related meetings in Mar del Plata, one between the task force and the council, and in addition to sort of catching the council up with the status of our work, we came to an agreement. We made a request of the council, and I think came to an agreement that the council would provide a new charter for the task force in order to narrow, hopefully, the scope of our work, because we realized that our current terms of reference include all of the terms of reference from all three of the initial task forces, and there's quite a heady number of them. And we are hoping for a charter that will give us a more sort of narrow and tailored scope that will give us a more clear path forward in terms of fulfilling new terms of reference and being able to act more closely in accordance with the PDP and some of the timelines and expectations associated therein. We don't yet have that recharter, and I don't know, Bruce is not on the call, unfortunately, but I don't know if any of the councilors will care to speculate in a moment as to when they think the timing on that is likely to occur. But in the meantime, I think we came to an informal agreement that the task force would continue to work in four areas. The first area is essentially advancing the work for the first recommendation that we have relating to providing notice, which is encapsulated in the preliminary report that Maria has put together and which we'll be voting upon today. That work is quite mature, obviously, and hopefully is getting near the end of its work within the task force, although there's still some additional steps required of us. The second area is another area in which we've already prepared some first draft of recommendations, and that is the process for resolving disputes with with local or national privacy laws, and the current status on that is that Steve Metalitz is preparing a revised set of recommendations that take into account the advice provided to us by the staff, and we hope to have that presented. He's planning on presenting that to us soon, I think, maybe next week even, and we are hoping then to decide how to proceed with that work as to whether we will advance it as a formal policy or some form of advice to the council or to the board. The third area is sort of the tiered access area, or access to data area, for lack of a better term, where we've had quite a bit of discussion, and task forces 1 and 2 put together some initial recommendations, but this new revised task force has not yet developed any concrete recommendations. And the fourth area is the accuracy area, which was formerly the scope of Task Force 3. And I think the informal agreement was that the initial focus of our work would be upon resolving accuracy issues in response to complaints. So that is where until such time as we receive a formal new charter that will hopefully match what I just said fairly closely, that's where we'll be focusing our work. And let me just ask if Marilyn or any of the other counselors on the call care to speculate as to when they think a new charter might be forthcoming.
I can't speculate because Bruce volunteered to take that on himself, and given that he's not on the call with us, I think we should probably just have you, if you don't mind, Jordan, send an inquiry to him.
Sure, I'm glad to. Yeah, so I guess we don't have a. I'll let the task force know when I know more.
Okay, great.
So that the other thing we did in Mar del Plata is we did have a couple of presentations similar to the ones that we had already had on the for the task force from DNIC and from Network Solutions regarding the who is that DNIC provides and Network Solutions privacy service just as part of the public forum. And so that's I think a brief recap of the activities at Mar del Plata. But if anyone else wants to add anything or has questions about that, I'm glad to entertain them at this time.
Did you want to say anything about? And actually, I don't know if we also did have a meeting and interaction with the GAC.
Yeah, so that was not actually a task force activity,
right.
But I would be, Marilyn, if you want to speak to that, or I'd be glad to hear
Go
about
ahead.
It.
did you want me to, Jordan?
Yeah, you or Suzanne or whoever was involved.
Yeah, if Suzanne is on the call, she should probably address that.
Sure,
okay.
Suzanne, do you care to comment?
Sure, I'd be more than happy to. The GAC GNSO working group did hold a meeting with the GNSO council. Interestingly enough, we had scheduled 1 hour, and our meeting actually took a full 2 hours. It was a very, very useful exchange. What we agreed to was to work together to plan a joint working session during the Luxembourg meeting that would be closed, and that's why we're calling it a working session, because we want to facilitate a better understanding of law enforcement uses of WHOIS data. And that struck all of us, both parties, the GAC side and GNSO side, as being a very useful focus of a meeting. We might in the future focus on other aspects, but we thought we would start with a law enforcement approach. I'm summarizing, I'm giving you a very, very concise snapshot of what we agreed to, but hopefully that's enough to give you a flavor.
Thanks, Suzanne. Is the intent for the working session in Luxembourg to be, once again, a council GAC activity, or would the task force be involved with that as well?
Obviously, my preference would be to defer to all of you as to how you want to structure your side, but as a personal statement, I couldn't imagine doing it without the task force.
I think that's right, but I think that council would be organizing it with an assumption we would invite the relevant task force. Should there be just this one, or should there be any others by that time? But I'm assuming it would just be this one.
Yeah, understood. Okay, thanks for that update as well. That's helpful and good to know. Any other additions or questions about the Mar del Plata activities? Okay, great. Well, I still don't think we have a registry representative on the call. Anyone want to contradict me about that by being a registry representative?
Who is the registry representative?
David Maher.
Human.
Yeah.
All right. Hmm. Yeah, I heard from Jeff Newman that he's sick today, so he won't be participating.
Yeah, and I think Glenn said that David Maher is planning on being on the call, but he was going to be late. Is that correct?
That's right. He said he would be a bit late.
Okay, let me propose that we defer the discussion of that and talk a little bit about work plan then, because I think it's actually a fairly logical segue from our previous agenda item. And hopefully David will get on by the time we get done with that agenda item. So in terms of work plan, as I indicated, we have three, assuming that regardless of the outcome of the vote today, the preliminary report on the notice recommendations will be published for public comment within 5 days of yesterday. Is that right, Maria?
That's right, yep.
Yeah, so sometime between now and Friday, that report will be published for a 20-day public comment period. And after that, there is a limited opportunity once the public comment period closes for us to sort of regroup and decide whether there's additional sort of reaction that we'd like to make to that. But in the meantime, we have three other areas of work that we can proceed in. One, as I mentioned, is the procedure for resolving conflicts between the who is requirements in the contract for registries and registrars and local and national law. And the current plan is to revise those recommendations and then subsequently have a conversation about how exactly we'd like to frame the recommendations in terms of policy or advice. Now Steve Metalis has generously volunteered to revise those recommendations in light of the staff's comments. So, Steve, could you just maybe give us an update as to when you think you're likely to be ready to present those to the task force?
Yeah, sure. I apologize for not having anything out yet. I hope to get something out by the end of this week so that we can talk about it on next Tuesday's call.
Okay. So next Tuesday, potentially, we would have some time to we can allocate some time to talk about that particular topic. The other two topics, it's a little less obvious, I'll say, as to what exactly the next steps are with regards to, and that's tiered access and accuracy. And I'm actually going to, I'll jump to accuracy first because I think that might be a slightly easier topic to develop a work plan around. And can anyone that was participating in Task Force 3 comment on whether I know that there was a preliminary report put together like a year ago for Kuala Lumpur. Does that have any sort of actionable recommendations that relate specifically to responding to complaints on accuracy?
Jordan, this is Ross here.
Mm-hmm.
The work that the task force left in
what I would best characterize as a state of disarray.
Mm-hmm.
I do not believe that there are any anything that you could qualify or characterize as a recommendation of the task force within that document. The work of the task force moved on after that document was published in several different directions. So it's certainly the thinking at the time of the closure of that task force, the merger of that task force, was much different than what was found in that document. But I'm not sure that there would be anything that I could point to as being a moderately or widely held view of the membership as to what constituted something that we could talk about and agree on and work on.
Okay, now, there was, Bruce had published, had sent to this new task force's mailing list a summary of sort of a conversation that happened in Cape Town. Does that strike you or other participants in that conversation as a better starting point for further work on the accuracy topic?
Well, the conversation we had in Cape Town is probably the most fruitful, enlightening, and productive conversation that we've had on the subject in the last 2 years. It's important to frame that discussion as being informal. You know, certainly a bunch of us got together and had an open-minded discussion about it. I would say that that's probably a better starting point than anything the task force came up with.
But Jordan, it's Marilyn. I think the really relevant topic for us probably on this, in addition to what we're doing right now, is to then ask, okay, given the terms of reference we have, what changes, if any, are needed then in the terms of reference in order to guide a task force's work, right?
Well, potentially speaking, yes, Marilyn. I guess it depends on whether we view sort of the next steps as being useful for us to be to recommend something to the council in terms of
right.
changes of terms of reference.
Right.
Or
right.
Which is I think a perfectly valid next step that we could take. Another next step that we could take is to say, look, we had sort of an informal agreement as to you know, focusing on responses to complaints at the Mar del Plata meeting, and we could struggle within the task force to now attempt to put together some recommendations that fall within that, making the assumption that the council is going to make the appropriate modifications to the terms of reference to make that work be fruitful. So I'm at this point not presupposing that one approach or the other is superior, I suppose.
Well, there's a third approach,
which sure.
is one that I would recommend at this point, would be that at some point this task force actually ends. it's a huge issue, and I don't believe that it's appropriate that this task force continue on for all time. It's probably worthwhile at some point. I'm not suggesting that this is the point, but it's worthwhile at some point that we finish our work and the council then appoints a new task force to deal with new issues.
Yeah, I think that's. I think one of the objectives of the new charter, Ross, will be to give this task force a finite and workable set of
mm-hmm.
objectives,
mm-hmm.
upon the completion of which we will say that this task force has concluded its objectives and is done. And then at that point, the council can feel free to charter a new task force to work on additional issues. So.
That would seem to commend a certain approach to then of what our work plan is. We may wish to look at what the biggest hairiest outstanding issue is and tackle that next.
Correct, and that's why I think we had the informal agreement in Mar del Plata to focus. Oh, are you talking more broadly, not just with respect to accuracy? Is that right?
More broadly, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, at this point, lacking the new charter, Ross, my understanding of the agreement in Mar del Plata is that we would continue to, that there would still be some accuracy work within the scope of this task force. So I think that would be, what you've just said would be a perfectly reasonable argument to make within the council as to what the charter of this task force should be. But from my perspective, as the co-chair of the task force at this time, I think we haven't yet excluded accuracy from the scope of the work of the task force yet. And in fact, I think quite the contrary, we agreed in Mar del Plata to continue work focusing on responses to complaints in particular.
Yeah, I think that's right. Do you think, Ross, are you suggesting that you would like for us to just serve that up and reconfirm it?
Well, no, it's not that I'm necessarily saying that accuracy needs to be forsaken or not. Please don't take that away from my comments. I'm just saying that as a group of people, we can do a limited amount of things with a limited amount of time and resources that we have. And in terms of ordering our work and making recommendations back to the council as to what we want to focus on and what we may want to prefer, we should look for those big rocks or those big issues that we want to deal with most immediately. And if that is accuracy, then let's move on with that issue.
Yeah, I would like to weigh in here also. I wasn't in Mar del Plata and need some of the clarifications maybe that Ross has. Because as soon as Ross made the point, which everybody laughed at, that this task force could go on forever, I thought of tiered access, which is really the big rock that affects everything else. And unless this task force is capable of coming up with some action on tiered access fairly expeditiously, then it doesn't make a lot of sense to be having a separate accuracy task force, because all of the accuracy issues depend on the privacy issues, as we've, of course, contended for years. And you can't resolve the accuracy issue without resolving the privacy issue. So I think that the task force will go on if it throws all of these issues into separate boxes and tries to resolve them separately. It probably will go on forever.
But maybe, Jordan, we should, because we did discuss this at some length, and I...
I didn't. I wasn't there.
Nor was I.
And were you guys, you weren't able, and weren't able to dial in either, so that you weren't really able to participate. So I wasn't meaning to exclude that. I was just trying to go back to recapturing, as I think, Jordan, you were trying to do, what the review was that did take place in Mar del Plata about work, which wasn't, I don't think it was an effort to sort of organize work, wouldn't you say, Jordan?
Yeah, no, I think that's correct. And let me once again to return to a comment I previously made. I think that the council may perfectly reasonably decide to further limit the scope beyond to something even narrower than the four areas that I identified previously. And I think the council would be perfectly within its rights to do so. We've asked for a new charter, and we've asked for a narrower charter. But at this time, I don't know that we're... I think the informal agreement we have is that the accuracy lives on. Now, I think maybe, Milton, to your point, maybe there's some consolidated solution that incorporates both some accuracy elements as well as tiered access in it. I'm not sure what that would be necessarily. But is that what you're trying to hint at?
Yeah, I think that the real solution to putting those things together is indeed some kind of tiered access that addresses the privacy concerns and relieves a lot of pressure over resolving the accuracy concern. So that you would need to have a focus on how can we implement tiered access, and then... Then the other issues could be worked out. But if you're saying we're going to do accuracy over here according to this terms of reference, and we're going to do a bunch of other things over here, I suspect that this task force will indeed be immortal.
This is Steve. Could I get in and start a cue?
Yeah, let me start a cue briefly. I want to. Go ahead, Steve. And anyone else want to be in the cue?
Tony Harris.
Jordan, before we do this, can Glenn or somebody try to call Ken and so we could get some sense of whether he or David will be joining, and then, you know, so...
Yeah, no, I think that's a good suggestion, Marilyn. Glenn or... Glenn, could you...
I'll call Ken.
Yeah, Ken, and if David said he was going to try to join the call, that would be useful as well.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Glenn. Okay, so Steve, Tony Harris, anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Steve.
Thanks. I would just I agree with your summation that accuracy is in the mix. I suppose the council could decide differently, but at least that's where it stands now. I think if you look at what Bruce posted, his recollection of the Cape Town discussion, I wasn't in the Cape Town discussion, and I've been sort of trying to find out what happened, what was in the Cape Town discussion, but at least his version of it, it's fairly narrow. I mean, it's a pretty finite issue that he says came out of that, and so I don't think it's necessarily the case that the task force would go on forever if the accuracy issue. So I guess I would feel I think IPC's view is that we should definitely keep accuracy.
Sorry, Steve, can you speak up? Most of what you said was just not hearable. Or not loud enough to hear over the background there.
I was just saying that if you look at what Bruce posted regarding Cape Town, you'll find that it's a fairly finite issue, and I think accuracy should remain in the charter of the group, and that might be a good place to start.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Tony?
Yes, I tend to agree with that. I'm not too sure that once you resolve tiered access in a reasonable manner and solution, that will necessarily guarantee people will then say, oh, my data is protected, great, then now I can give them my right to my accurate details. I'm not sure that's guaranteed. So I think that both accuracy and tiered access are very important. They should be kept on the table. And I also think that sooner or later we should look at the fact that that all this discussion really revolves around something which affects the registrars directly, which is cost. And until we can find a way around this which will not impact the registrars in their, as far as cost is concerned, to do all this implementation, I don't think we'll really get very far with our discussions. And I understand the registrar's position on this.
Okay. Any other comments on this right now?
Yeah, Jordan, it's Marilyn. I would like to make a comment about, I think that we probably can't take this a whole lot further until we get Bruce's draft proposed charter back. And maybe the thing to do is just make sure that the minutes reflect everybody's comments. If you agree with that Maria and Glenn are, you know, able to capture the detail of the comments that have been received, and we put you, if you don't mind, in the position of following up with Bruce on where the revised charter is, and then we take the question up at that point.
Yeah, so I was about to suggest, I think we're actually covering ground that I think is actually more appropriate for the council to be covering in its charter,
right,
in its charter conversation.
Right.
I think it's a worthy line of dialogue, and I think that I will ask Maria to capture those comments, and I'll forward them to Bruce and to the council for consideration.
And we have a council meeting. We have a council meeting on the 5th, I think. I'm sorry.
On the 5th of May, is that right?
I think that's right.
Glenn, probably.
The
12th
of May.
The 12th of May.
Yes.
Sorry.
I have asked Ken to join the call, but there's only a message on his phone.
Okay, so let me suggest this. So we have at least until the 12th of May essentially acting in this somewhat limbo state without the charter. Let me ask that we, in the meantime, I'd like to schedule some sort of substantive dialogue on some of these topics to see what initial ground we can cover that may provide us a useful foundation once we have the sort of stricter timelines of the PDP kicking in once we have a new charter. So to that end, let's see, how many... I have to look at a calendar now. So the 12th, if we have three meetings between now and the 12th of May, is that correct? Yeah, it looks like it.
Yeah,
26th, the 3rd, and then the 10th. So let me suggest that perhaps we have a substantive dialogue on each of these topics, one per week over the next 3 weeks, and that may be a way of seeing whether or not there is some way to sort of clear these rocks, I guess. We spent quite a bit of time over the past several weeks talking a lot about procedure, and I'd like to take the opportunity to turn back to some substantive dialogue, especially now that we have the new bigger task force and a broader range of perspectives represented here. So to that end, I'm going to poll the participants here as to which topic they'd like visited first, if they think it would help engage some of, make progress on the other two. It sounds like there's some sentiment that visiting tiered access first might help us get to a solution on accuracy, but I'm open for a brief round of comments as to the topic that people like to visit first.
Are we limited in our choices?
So you're limited to the three topics that are not going to be up for public comment that we agreed are in the charter. So the topics are tiered access, the conflict with national laws, and accuracy.
Thank you.
Well, I'll bite, Jordan.
Yeah, sure, Russ.
I don't mind kicking off. I tend to agree with Steve. I wouldn't mind taking another crack at accuracy. I think the conversation we had in Cape Town was actually pretty progressive, and given some new faces at the table, we'll probably be able to get down that field pretty quickly. So I'd vote to put that one first.
Any other comments? Okay.
I'll jump in with Wendy, even though I don't have an official vote. I think that both the tiered access and conflicts with national laws do have a lot to help us toward resolving accuracy problems. So either one of those would be my preference to see addressed. Perhaps to further narrow that, I think that analyzing the national laws and the conflicts problems up front might tell us a lot about what's possible and less possible in addressing the other questions.
Okay, thanks, Wendy.
Jordan, let me ask you a question about what you're asking us. You're asking us, if we're going to have three meetings in the next 3 weeks, you're saying what's the order of the discussion?
I'm saying yes. Is there any preference as to that? If there's not a strong preference, I can schedule them randomly or otherwise.
Well, my only input into that would be that the national laws is further progressed than the others, and if there's any way discussing it first would get it off the table and move it along, then I think we should do it first.
Okay, thanks, Milton.
Jordan, I have a question of clarification as well.
Sure.
I actually think I just want to be sure so we don't have a misunderstanding. Because what Wendy said, I think, differs from my understanding of where we are on that. We have a proposal on national laws. It is the question of analyzing national laws. It's an actual proposal, right? That we would possibly move into a recommendation, or it would either be, yeah.
Yeah, so my view is that the next call we would have regarding national law would be that Steve would would present us with a revised draft of the recommendations based on the staff feedback,
right.
And we would discuss that draft and how to proceed with it.
I just wanted to be sure, Wendy, we weren't disconnected on what you were expecting we were going to do.
I'm sorry, there's been so much back and forth on these calls. I'm afraid I don't have a complete mental map of where we are, but thank you for the clarification.
Yeah, no problem. That's good to clarify, Marilyn. Okay, let me suggest this then. Let me suggest that initially, I'm only going to schedule the first one for now, and next week I think it sounds, I'm inclined to agree with what Milton just pointed out, that we are in a more mature state, and I think Steve's committed to getting the revised draft of the national laws done within a week, and so that seems like a good topic for our next conversation, and then I'll figure out in the meantime how to proceed from there. The third and the tenth, we will also have discussions on accuracy and on tiered access and order to be announced.
And Jordan, I just have one other comment.
Mm-hmm.
Could we ask Maria to discuss with Paul and others on the ICANN staff to what extent they think they would like to join us for that meeting, if besides Maria, of course.
Each of those meetings are just the... Oh, you're just speaking specifically with regards to the national law,
yeah,
because of the staff input.
Yeah.
Yes. Maria, can you make a note of that?
Sure, I'll make a note of that. I'll follow it up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now we're out of topics to discuss other than this vote. So we'll proceed to the discussion of the preliminary report prepared by Maria. Several people made comments on the preliminary report that Maria posted yesterday, and she subsequently made some revisions to it that I think didn't affect the substance of the report, but were helpful from either clarifying or removing information that was not perhaps illuminating. And I don't think I've seen any comments on the current draft of the preliminary report, but I'll first of all ask if anyone has any additional feedback on the report as posted today.
This is David. Can I just seek clarification from Maria, because I've been traveling and I just landed. Did you delete the reference to the terms of reference one for Task Force One, originally with Task Force One?
Yeah, David, I did. I took the terms of reference of Task Force 1 out. I also put the relevant part of the registrar accreditation agreement in.
Great.
I took out a mistake, and basically the rest was just cosmetic.
Okay, thanks.
Any other comments or feedback on the report? Okay, so that leaves us with a discussion about voting procedures. We've had a little bit of back and forth with regards to procedures on the list. My interpretation of the council recommendation or the council resolution from back in 2003 was that there was one vote per constituency. Since then, Maria has sought feedback from ICANN Assistant General Counsel, who has a somewhat different interpretation than I do, that there should be one vote per original task force voting representative.
Regional?
Original. So for each of the three task forces, that there would be a vote per... So we'd essentially have three votes, up to three votes per constituency in this task force. One from the rep from task force one, one from the rep for task force two, one from the rep for task force three.
Jordan, it's Marilyn.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, this was posted to us at some point, because
Maria solicited the feedback from the Assistant General Counsel, and he gave, and actually I'll let Maria characterize the comments instead of trying to do it for her.
I just talked to Dan Halloran about whether there is one vote per constituency or whether there is a vote per representative from each of the previous task forces. And Dan's first thing was that, well, basically the bylaws are, they don't really, they're not very detailed on that. Interpretation was that probably there was one vote per previous representative of each task force. But I have to say he wasn't absolutely definitive about it. Certain amount of ambiguity in the bylaws about it. And the third thing that Dan said to me was, but also keep in mind that it's very important to get a good idea of what the feeling of the task force is, if the vote is for illustrative then.
I'm having trouble hearing, Maria. I think I got the gist of it, but I don't know if others are having difficulty as well.
Yeah, it was fairly dim. I think I got it all. So let me try to recap, and I'll allow Maria to say whether I'm right or wrong. But essentially, she indicated that Dan Halloran had told her that his reading of the bylaws was that there would be one vote per constituency per previous task force. But that the bylaws were somewhat vague and open to interpretation on this point, and that, actually I missed your last point, Maria, with regards to that this is just a sentiment of the task force. It doesn't have a binding effect.
That was it.
Yeah. Okay.
Jordan, would you open a queue?
Yes, I'm glad to open a queue on this topic, and I'll put you at the top of it, Marilyn. Anyone else?
You can add me if it would help me explain the original source of my inquiry.
Yeah, sure. Ross, anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Marilyn.
Why don't we let Ross ask his question?
Okay, sure, Ross.
The nature of my original inquiry was simply that was simply rooted in the fact that the registrar constituency elects each of its task force representatives, and it's unclear in this merged task force whether we are in fact participating in a new task force or are participating in the merger of three previous task forces. Only unclear, really, from the perspective of our registrar constituency bylaws. We cannot appoint people to vote on our behalf because of these elections, because of these bylaws. So my question was simply meant to discover, it wasn't meant to throw the voting process into disarray, but it was simply meant to discover whether or not I, in fact, have a legitimate right, as per my constituency bylaws, to actually cast a vote today or not.
And from what I've heard, Ross, it sounds like you do have a right, because this is indeed a merger of three task forces, not a new task force.
Yeah. Okay. Marilyn.
Yeah. I'm gonna do two things. I'm going to propose that we devise a path forward on this task force, and then we send a question forward to the council. I am personally really not satisfied with the response given by the Assistant General Counsel. And in terms of the timeliness by which we can operate, because each of the constituencies has a different assumption, and Ross has identified one assumption. In other constituencies, although constituencies may have three members, not all members may be on the call, and therefore not each constituency will be able to have three people voting. It was very unclear, I think, to each of the constituencies exactly how the voting was going to be handled. So we should probably come up with, a sense of sort of like, I also don't really fully understand the Assistant General Counsel's statement that this is the sense of the task force. Task forces, as chartered by the council, are asked to vote to present a recommendation. They don't vote on consensus policy, but we do record their votes. We have a process for documenting minority opinions so that there's clarity for the council on what comes forward. And I think we're in a confused, slightly situation because of the newness of our being in the converged or combined task force situation. So why don't we figure out, sort of with a general sense of consensus from the folks who are on the call, how we're going to handle voting for today, if we're going to vote today. And then secondly, why don't we devise a question to send to the council to seek clarity for the ongoing work of the task force.
Could I comment?
Milton, anyone else want to speak on this topic?
Yeah, this is Steve. If I can get
Milton, Steve.
Hi, it's Maria. I'd like to get into.
Maria, anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Milton.
Okay, I agree with Marilyn that there are ambiguities in terms of voting, and that, but I don't view her sense that this really needs to hold us up. I think we're being a little too bureaucratic here. And I don't feel all that confused by the clarification issued by the Assistant General Counsel. I thought it was pretty clear. Basically, the task force sort of develops a recommendation. Its votes are recorded. It's passed up to the council. That's where the real vote is held anyway. He basically indicated to me that it is a merged task force, and therefore he would like to see all three members voting. Obviously, the practice has been for each constituency to have usually one representative on the call. Not all of us have time to duplicate that effort. And so, you know, I don't know about the other constituencies, but in my case, everybody involved in 1, 2, and 3 knew that this vote was happening, and they knew that I was the one covering the call. If we held a vote on the call, I would vote for the constituency. If you wanted me to back that up with formal proxies or votes from the other members, I could get them within a day. Wouldn't be a problem. I just would like to move forward and not feel like I've just wasted 2 hours of a beautiful afternoon.
Jordan, I just want to respond. Milton, I wasn't suggesting that we not move forward. I just want to be clear on that.
Okay.
I was in agreement with you.
Okay, thanks. Steve, and if anyone has a fire truck going by, you.
Oh.
This is Steve. For the fire truck to go by. Okay.
This is Steve. I agree with what was just said both by Marilyn and Milton, and which I take to be each constituency has one vote. If there's more than one representative of that constituency on this call, I guess they should either figure out how they're going to vote, or else I don't care if they split their vote. And since it is now 8 minutes to the hour, I'm going to have to drop off in about 2 minutes. So I'm going to ask the chairman to cast my vote in favor of approving the preliminary report on behalf of the IPC.
Okay, let me just note, Steve, that the vote's on the substance of the recommendations, not on the report itself. So you're voting on whether you approve the recommendations contained in Section 1.1 of the report.
Okay, I stand corrected, and I would want my vote cast in support of that recommendation with the understanding that this is not our very last bite at the apple anyway.
Right. Okay, Maria?
Yeah, I just wanted to come in on, there was just a suggestion there, if I misheard it, I apologize, but that the response from the assistant counsel wasn't quick enough or maybe thorough enough. I'm sure that Dan can give a more thorough response, but I have to say I called him 30 minutes before this conference call started. So, you know, I think he as good a response as he could on the fly, but I'm sure if people want more of a response, we'd be happy to deliver that.
Hey, Jordan, it's Paul. I'd like to get in the queue.
Okay, Paul, go ahead, and then I'm going to jump in and suggest a path forward. But go ahead, Paul.
Well, this is a path forward. We just
okay.
we all vote, and then we report the votes to whoever is counting them, and then they could decide, oh, these three votes are really one vote.
Yeah, I'm going to suggest something very similar but slightly modified. I'm going to suggest that we all vote, that any representative that was a voting representative on any previous task force can vote, but we'll report the votes, not only, we'll list the votes by representative, but we'll report the vote, we'll summarize as constituency votes, and if there's splits within constituencies, we'll report that. I don't think that's going to happen, though. So this is, seems to be largely a lot of talk about something that's not going to actually affect the outcome. Does that seem reasonable? So what I'm suggesting is we will enumerate both the individual votes and also a summarized vote of what the net result from the constituencies are. So we might say, here's a list of everyone that voted, and the net result was 4 constituencies or 3 constituencies approved, and 1 abstained, and 1 voted against it, or something like that.
That certainly addresses my very small concerns.
Okay. Does that, any objections to proceeding in that manner? Okay, so we'll vote. Glenn, do you just want to run through the role that you have for today's call?
Yes, shall I call out the name?
Yeah, may I just report the individual names, and then we'll summarize by constituency.
Jordan, may I just say that Ken is currently at the dentist for acute treatment. He called Kerry Karp to say that he votes in favor of the proposal made at today's task force meeting.
Okay. I don't know what we're going to do with that, but...
Okay, but just to tell you, that's the reply I got.
Jordan, yeah. This is Brett. I'm going to have to drop off the call, but I'll give my non-voting proxy to my non-voting colleague, Wendy.
Thanks, Brett.
Yeah.
Okay, David Ferris.
Vote in favor.
Marilyn Cade.
I'm in favor.
Tony Harris.
In favor.
Linton Miller.
In favor.
Paul Stavira.
I just want to be clear, we're voting for 1.1 text to recommendation, is that right?
Right, whether or not you support the recommendation itself.
I do not support it. And also, Thomas Keeler, I have his proxy.
I don't know if we have proxies, but okay, sure.
He sent an email, so I don't know. Glenn,
he sent an email to say that if there was a vote, Paul Stavira had his proxy if it was needed.
Okay.
Jordan Buchanan?
I don't vote.
You don't vote?
Yeah.
It's called abstaining, right?
Yeah, well, I guess, yeah. I mean, technically, I still have a registry seat, so I definitely don't want to vote on behalf of the registry.
Russ Rader?
I vote against the recommendation.
Tim Ruiz?
I'm not voting. I'm just an alternative, so I don't qualify to vote.
Tim doesn't get a vote, is what he's saying.
Oh, there we go.
Okay. Steve Metellitz has voted in favor. And those are all the voting members. We have no vote from...
Glenn, we have ISPs.
Yeah, we do have Tony Harris.
Tony Harris has voted.
Yeah, I voted a couple of minutes ago, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Is there any...
It's the registries that we have nobody, and I have got the email here that Kerry Karp sent me, so I don't know what you would like to do with that. I can pass it on.
Yeah, I guess that opens the question of whether we want to allow email votes or not.
Jordan, it's Marilyn. I'm going to make a proposal.
Sure.
I do think that in the interest of all of us are really interested in being fair and accommodating the confusion of the situation we find ourselves in. Why don't we, because I note that there are actually, for the BC, we have a member, Sarah Dorich, who isn't on the call because she assumed she didn't have to be because David was going to carry the vote for us. But why don't we ask our secretariat to contact the members of the combined task force who are not present on the call and ask them to vote by email to her, and then we record the vote as such. Present on the call, boom, 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 boom.
I think you're right. I think that is the most fair, given that we have expanded the sort of expectations, or at least for some constituencies, in terms of who would be voting. So I will ask Glenn, absent objection from anyone, we will allow people to submit their votes by email, provided that they do so prior to the Friday posting deadline of the task force report.
Can I ask that people who have already voted not be allowed to change their vote?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
This is Tim. Can I make a request?
Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
Okay. That the email or whatever is sent out, the instructions of it, are very clear as to what they're voting on, that it's not the posting of the report, as I and others have made the mistake of assuming that it's the actual recommendation, and make sure that that's clear.
Yeah, I will. I'll try to draft some text that Glenn can send out that will hopefully make that clear.
And then can I just have clarification? Must it be sent to everybody that is on the list? For example, the IPs have got people, Jeremy Banks, John Wolf, and Randolph Kiyoshi, and Terry Clark.
There should only be one voting representative per previous task force.
Right, and I think if it's not clear, Glenn, just go to, I guess, Steve in this case and ask him who the voting representative was for each of the other task forces. Jordan, does that make sense?
Yeah, exactly correct. Yeah. So that's like Tim Ruiz. Some of those people probably fall into the same category as Tim Ruiz, who aren't eligible to vote, even though they participate.
And the same goes for the non-commercial constituency, Milton?
What?
Did I send the vote to Kathy Kleinman, Mark Schneiders, and Franny?
Mark Schneiders is just a second. Franny was Task Force 3. Kathy was Task Force 2, and I was 1. So those are your voting representatives. All of them are perfectly happy to let me vote for them. But if you need verification of that, you can send them emails. They'll vote the same way, I'm sure.
So what does the task force feel about that?
I think we should, to the extent we're soliciting these votes by email, we should get everyone that is not on the call.
All right.
And then for Tony Harris, Tony, you would provide the Maggie or whoever your contacts were, and then we'll just provide Sarah's email. David, is that okay?
That's fine.
Okay.
Okay. It sounds like the net result is going to be, I don't know what the registry net result will be, but the statement that the registry has provided doesn't match Ken's vote, but they may either be conflicted or otherwise, but it seems like as of right now we have 4 constituencies in favor, 1 opposed, and 1 something else.
Right, is that the end?
Milton, I was just thinking about the fun that Jordan and Maria and Glenn are going to have recording this.
Yeah, this will be quite exciting. And I'm also going to suggest that we will ask council for clarification on the question of who is eligible to vote within the task force and whether the previous council resolution that there is 1 representative per task force is supposed to apply to the new joint task force or whether there should persist.
Great. All I can say is I'm glad I'm not on the council anymore. Are we done?
Yeah, after any final other business, we're done until next week when we'll discuss the conflict on national law.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hi, it's Maria here.
And Jordan, you will send me the text as soon as possible.
Yes, I will.
Thank you very much. Bye.